We are beginning to make some headway into the all-conscious mind of God. And we begin to become ready to receive his words. And the words which I've chosen for this morning are the words spoken to St. Peter by our Lord. You'll remember that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come with me, I will make you fishers of men." And they left their nets and followed him. But it wasn't quite as simple as that, was it? In other parts of the Bible, we have Peter saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." This is the problem that we all have. We all know ourselves to be far less than perfect. And yet God is calling to us. And if it is some consolation, it certainly is a consolation to me that all the great prophets felt the same. In fact, Moses said, "I can't do what you're calling me to do, Lord. I am slow of speech and tongue." In other words, go and find someone else. I can't come. I can't do this work. Jeremiah said, "I can't come. I am only a youth." Some of you in this room may be feeling, "I can't come. I'm too old." We've always got an excuse. Isaiah, I like the prophet Isaiah saying, "I can't come. I am a man of unclean lips." I wonder if that meant that he just swore an awful lot. Peter said, "Depart from me. I am sinful." Further on in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus says, "Now look here, all of you. I have chosen you. You did not choose me. I have chosen you that you go forth and bear much fruit." And so, in the silence of our mind this morning, we think about these things. Jesus is calling us. The Christ is calling us. God, our Father, is calling us to come with him. Not simply to come and be with him, sitting on a cloud, but to come and get on with some work for him. Further on in Revelations, it's John again that sees the door of heaven open and he hears God call to him, "Come up here and I will show you what must happen." All of us have been called away into this retreat, not just for our own glorification, not just for fellowship, not just for a rest, but to listen to the word of God and to pay attention to that word and to allow that word to become enfleshed within us so that we ourselves can accept the responsibility of the Christ nature which is within us, and we can say yes in spite of the fact that we may swear a little, in spite of the fact that we may be too young or too old, in spite of the fact that we can't speak very well, we'll come with you and do the best we can. And so we go into the first silence of the mind and listen to God speaking directly to our mind, to our intellect, to the intelligence which He has given us. We cannot help but to think and mull over these words to start with, but then eventually we let go of the words and we listen to God, who is calling us by name to come with Him. Come with me. Come up here. Come with me. Come with me. Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so it isn't a question of merely coming to be with Jesus in some kind of comfortable, sloppy way. It's a question of work. It's a question of helping in the redemption of the world. And as contemplatives, we begin to learn and know and understand. And it is frightening work. It's all very well to follow the normal pattern of the Christian life, putting a £5 note in the envelope that comes through the door for Dr. Bernardo's, going to the hunger lunches at church, wrapping up our cast-off clothing and sending it off to Romania, makes us feel that we're doing our Christian duty, helping to feed the hungry, to give a home to the homeless, to clothe those that are naked. Some of us might even feel able to visit those in prison. And this is all jolly good stuff, and all what Jesus asked us to do. But the problem with the contemplative life is that as we really set out on the journey, the horror of the knowledge that we ourselves may be the hungry ones, we ourselves may be the naked ones. The problem with the contemplative life is that we see ourselves as we truly are. We have clothes on here, sitting in this room, for a variety of reasons. But before God, we are naked. And He can see the real person. It's all very well trotting off to church on a Sunday, but the truth is that may not be our spiritual home. We may have a large family or friends or people that we work with, and yet we still are lonely. And it's this that the prophets of old recognized within themselves. And this is why shock horror when God called them on, not just to be with Him, but to come with Him, to work with Him, to get on with the Christ life which is within us all. And so in spite of our being slow to speak, in spite of our age, whether we think we're too young, too old, or too in between, despite the fact that we may have used language which we might be ashamed of, despite the fact that we may say, no, I can't do this, go from me, depart from me, said Peter, for I am a sinful man. These are all signs that these men began to know themselves. And as contemplatives, we become to know ourselves. And that is rather upsetting. And we can cry out, say, no, this is no good. I can't go on with this. I'm not good enough. And we can cry out the word raka, which means condemnation and rage that we have been found out for who we really and truly are. We're not pious, worthy souls. We may be miserable, lonely blobs. And how can it be that God is calling us? But he is calling us. He is speaking to us in our minds, which is the first place we understand him to be. And through this channel, he enters into our hearts. And through this knowledge, we begin to understand that that's where he is anyway. That God is not lost. God is not in a book or in a church or in any form of liturgy, but is truly within us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And that we ourselves, the soul which is within us, is a miniature of the entire creation. And we have to accept this. The soul within us, the kingdom within us, is a miniature of the whole of creation. And that includes the negative parts of our nature. We are called to accept this part of ourselves as God accepts us, and he created us. We have to accept this part of the nature of Jesus. There are many incidents in the Gospels of his anger, calling the Pharisees a brood of vipers, saying to his disciples, how much longer must I suffer you? Apart from the other obvious things of turning over the tax collectors' tables in the temple forecourts, there are many places in the gospel stories where we are reminded of this side of Jesus. And that side is within us because we come from the same source, and it is a reflection of the wholeness of God. And so we mustn't hide it. We mustn't push down the anger, the loneliness, pretend it isn't there, because it will come seeping out in recriminations and bitter remarks. We must look at it, accept it, and allow God to put his arms around all of us, the negative as well as the positive sides of our nature, so that he can work with that side of our nature, so that we can learn to be angry in the right places at the right time. And so, having some more thoughts on who we really are and how God truly sees us, we can begin to accept maybe that he is calling us on to work with him, to work with him, to make fishers of men, or to come up here so that we can be shown what we must do. So in the next part of the silence of the heart, we do our best to let go of thoughts and ideas. We allow the words to seep into our heart, where we use other faculties of sensing and knowing, and then we let go of those things until we let go of all things in an acknowledgement of the Christ within us. We are all one thing. So we just relax again if we've become tense. Make sure that we're comfortable. We repeat the words once or twice and then let them go. We let everything go and simply accept the situation. Come with me. Come up here. I will make you fishers of men, and I will show you what must happen. Come with me. Come with me. In spite of the fact that we have acknowledged that we ourselves are spiritually lonely, that we ourselves are spiritually homeless, that we are spiritually hungry, and that we may have been in some kind of religious prison. In spite of the fact, the shock, the horror of the knowledge that it is ourselves that have been in this predicament, and God is calling us to help him. This is a great mystery, and it is in the final part of the silence, when we work within this mystery, using our will to join with the will of God in the redemption of his world. We allow ourselves to be used as channels for his healing love and light, lifting people to him and holding them there. What I would like you to do now, in the silence of the next few minutes, is to visualize those people closest to you. A close member of your family, or a close friend. It doesn't matter whether they are with us in flesh or whether they've gone on to God, because we are all one in this mystical body of Christ. And in this part of the work of the will, we work with the communion of saints. There is no separation. This is the work of the Spirit. And so, hold before yourselves the picture of the person or persons you have in your mind to bring before God, especially anyone who you feel might be called to work with God in some special kind of ministry. God's words speaking with and through yourselves into these people, saying, come with me. I will make you fishers of men. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One in the midst of you. You are my people, and I have chosen you. You did not choose me. Come with me. Come with me. If there is a name of anyone, especially on your hearts at the moment, that you would like to share with us, then simply call out the Christian name.
Stuart.
Stuart, you shall not go down the pit, and neither shall your bread fail, for I am the Lord your God. I am with you always until the end of time. Come with me. Come with me. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unsearchable riches, pouring forth as light from the sun, in boundless profusion, boundless generosity, whether received, rejected, or ignored. And especially we thank you for your words this morning. And once again, we offer and present unto you, as far as we are now able, ourselves as an emptiness to be filled with your fullness, all that we are, all that we have, all that we do, a living sacrifice in your service.